You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan's girl, Matt Wilhelm, going back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. James in Cleveland, welcome to the show. What's up, James? How
everybody,
you doing?
There?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I got you now.
Okay, yeah, I was saying, I hear you saying, Nathan, that the Browns will be able to run the ball. You know, the line's pretty good. But I disagree with that. That right side of that line, Mitchell Schwartz, all I see him is him getting pushed back. They don't have a road grader. I think that's why the backs may have problems running this year, because even the guy they traded, the thing was, like he was saying, he gets the ball and his guy's in his face already. They don't have anybody to push on that side of the line, so that's going to be a problem for them.
I think if you go back and you look at the Browns in terms of the game-by-game last season, they actually ran the ball pretty effectively prior to Mitchell Schwartz going down. Week 1, 191 yards rushing, 6.2 per carry against Pittsburgh. Week 2, 122 and 4 yards per carry against New Orleans. Week 3, 85 yards rushing, 2.8 against Baltimore, so that wasn't good. Week 4, 176 on 6.2 yards per carry against Tennessee. Week 5, 158 on 4.2 yards per carry against a Pittsburgh. After that, when that left, so they were over 4 yards of carry in 4 of the first 5 games, over 100 yards rushing in 4 of the first 5 games. You take that away, they topped 100 yards rushing 4 more times the rest of the season, and they were over 4 yards per carry only once the rest of the season. So absolutely, Alex Mack was a factor in that ground game. Now, you say Mitchell Schwartz, you don't like him as a road grader. Perhaps they will look to upgrade that. But don't forget, they have Michael Bowie, who they brought in from Seattle. There's a right tackle who will compete to start for this team. I believe he'll have an opportunity to compete, or maybe could kick in and play guard, because he is a powerful run blocker. Was a 12th graded Pro Football Focus run blocking tackle when he started for the Seattle Seahawks on their Super Bowl run at the right tackle position. So I still think the Browns will be able to run it with their line staying as it is, but I also think that they have an opportunity there to maybe upgrade it a little bit in terms of run blocking if they decide to somehow feature Bowie in there. But I like the starting line of this Browns team, and they were able to run the ball, and I think they're going to be even better running it this season.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think the one thing that we're discounting as well, and we talked about it during the season on this show, was we talked about the innovation of Kyle Shanahan's offense and the great mix of run-pass with those zone reads with Brian Hoyer at the helm. And I think also, too, is the one thing that we never saw was the continuation of that innovation. Everything became to, you know, started to look the same. And I thought the better defenses in the National Football League that we played in that second half of the season got a beat on who we are. So losing Alex Mack was significant. And then also, too, we were very, very predictable towards, you know, as the season went on, because of the lack of playmakers, because of, you know, some inadequacies at quarterback and some of the youth in the running back room. So it hurt us. And that culmination was why there was a significant drop off in running, in our ability to run the football. Not necessarily that right side of the line.
I was talking to Wilbur Montgomery, the Browns running back coach, who's actually walking by the Dog Bowl right now as we speak. And he was saying he expects a huge jump from year one to year two for both Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell.
I agree.
Huge, huge jump. Just that they're more comfortable. They understand the game now.
They know their role.
And they're going to get all the reps. Remember, Ben Tate was taking the majority of the reps last year in camp.
And I'll say this as a former player. There is nothing better than your coaches, from the head coach, your coordinator, or your position coach, to look you in the face and go, you're going to be our guy. Your confidence goes through the roof. You start watching tape more. You start lifting more. You start running more. Your emotions, you just can't. You're chomping at the bit for that football season and that opportunity to come, and you're living out a dream.
They're going to have a battle, though.
What you do with it is on you as a player, but there's nothing better than, well, we don't really know what we're going to do. We may add someone. We may not. But when they look you in the face and tell you that you're going to be our guy and you guys are going to compete, they're going to be two junkyard dogs on a chain chomping at each other. Absolutely right.
Yes, they will. They are going to get after it as well. Let's go back to the phone lines right now, 216-578-0850. Jamie in Cumberstown, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You got it.
What I'm thinking is that most people really want that sexy pick, that wide receiver, that big-time playmaker. And I got to ask you, what has Calvin Johnson done for the Detroit Lions as far as getting them into the playoffs and advancing them? Or Golden Tate? or any of those wide receiver picks that got taken last year, the Tampa Bay, Chicago Bears, Saints, all these guys, these 10 wide receivers, I think it was, deep, Odell Beckham, and what did they really do to get their team into the playoffs? The game is won and lost at the line of scrimmage, like your last caller said. And we need somebody to back up Mac, to back up the left tackle position, to back up the different places, and they need to
They need depth there. And they need to get tougher on the defensive line. You're right about that. I think when you look at the offense, though, and the modern NFL, if you're trying to help a quarterback out, it does help to have a playmaking wide receiver. The difference, though, between a lot of those teams that you just highlighted, the Browns have the defense that's already at that caliber. The Browns have a defense that is playoff caliber, and if they shore up the D-line, which I know they will do in the draft and or free agency, maybe both, that they're going to be one of those top 10, maybe top 5 defenses here in the NFL. So the Browns have that aspect of it. On offense, yes, your line, your starting line is very good. You need a little bit of depth there. We'll see what we have in Bowie. To me, that's like getting a draft pick who can play tackle and maybe kick into guard. But you've got to see as well what you can get. You need playmakers to keep defenses honest and to keep them from stepping in the box. And to get, you know, you got to get 8 guys out of it. You can't have 8 guys in the box every time if you're going to sit there and run.
I'll continue to say this. It's going to be a very, very hard sell to the passionate Browns fan that you're adding depth at offensive line when we did not go wide receiver the entire draft last year, and it turned out to be an extremely, you know, deep, productive wide receiver group, and we have yet another deep, productive wide receiver group potentially, and if we miss that void, it's going to be a hard sell to go offensive line depth and not go get a playmaker if we continually have questions at the quarterback position. You've got to surround him with talent. Yes, you've got to protect him, and we have those 5 guys. I believe we do. And yes, depth is a priority, but right now in today's NFL, you have to score points. And how do you score points? Your ability to run the football and your playmakers outside make the plays.
Let's go now to Mike in Cincy. Mike, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I wanted to wait a few days to call, you know, till the dust kind of settled with the Josh McCown signing. But I got to tell you, I've been a season ticket holder since 95, and this is the lowest I've felt, the least passionate, the most frustrated I've been with the team since they were on hiatus. You know, and I'll tell you why. To me, it seems like by going with Josh McCown, it confirms all the rumors are true, that the business people push to get Manziel on the field.
It's not true.
You know, the owner pushed to draft him.
Also not true.
Just hear me out for a minute.
Yeah, but it is not true, just so you know.
Okay, well, I think to win in the NFL, you need a passer. People talk about how it's a quarterback-driven league. Johnny 100%. Manziel is not a passer. I think this confirms they're going to turn everything over to Johnny. And, you know, you get rid of Brian Hoyer because he didn't want to mentor him, fine. But to me, it seems like you want to have somebody in there who wants to play. It seems like you're going to either make the options either Johnny Manziel, their guy, or this tomato can in Josh McCown.
Josh McCown, to be fair, for a tomato can, has played at a level that Brian Hoyer has never played at any point in his career. I think as a Browns fan, they drafted Johnny Manziel. Many teams had first-round grades on him. You're, again, as I said earlier in the week, your path to success is for Johnny to come out and become a professional and take advantage of the great talents that he does have. He actually averaged more yards per attempt from the pocket in college than Teddy Bridgewater did. So that's not on his broken-down crazy plays. That's throwing from the pocket. I was a Teddy Bridgewater guy. I agree with you. To me, the skill set you need at quarterback to win in the NFL are as follows. The ability to read defenses quickly, the ability to make good, quick decisions with the football, identify and find the open receiver going through your progressions, and deliver it accurately in the short and intermediate game while having a good enough arm and being able to hit enough deep throws to keep the defenses honest. Now, the knock on Teddy was he didn't have a good enough arm, wasn't a good enough leader. It turned out he's been a great leader and actually was number one in the NFL in completion percentage of passes more than 20 yards in the air. But Johnny's got the physical tools that are there. The learning curve for Johnny comes in the mental side of it and the professional side of it off the field. You're hoping that going to rehab will help him get that part of it under control and that he can be obsessed with football, as John DeFilippo said, learn the game. Physically, he's got the tools. And if he isn't the answer, you need to find one. Brian Hoyer wasn't the answer. You need to find a guy who is the answer. That's what the NFL is all about. And until the Browns have a starting quarterback, yes, maybe you can win a few more games with Brian Hoyer here or there, but does that help you ultimately in the long term? Absolutely not. You need to have a guy, the guy. And so if Johnny Manziel ultimately turns out not to be the guy, maybe you draft somebody this year, Brett Hundley, Bryce Petty, Garrett Grayson. If they're not the guy, you're going to keep going until you find the guy. Treading water in the NFL is a way to stay mediocre for a long, long time. Now, the Browns fans deserve at least mediocre. They haven't had that. So I understand why that's what you're looking for. But you got to find the guy at quarterback, and that's a long-term solution. And if you're a Browns fan right now, you hope that that guy's Johnny Manziel. You have him under contract cheaply for 4 more years. You're hoping that he can show that he can come out and live up to the talent and show the flashes you saw at Texas A&M.
And the one thing that we have to be encouraged about, Nathan, is the fact that we had the offensive coordinator sit here yesterday and talk about the plan that he has for Johnny Manziel in hopes that he gets enamored with football, you know, coming out of treatment and getting back into football, surrounded by his teammates, embraced by his teammates, that he is the solution. You could hear that, you know, and this is not, you know, John DeFilippo has thought about this probably in depth in taking this job. And now that he's had it in watching Johnny Manziel again, probably in college and his, you know, his ugly starts last year, he has a plan for him. So let's and right now it's words. But we want to see that go into place, and we'll be able to see that throughout OTAs and training camp if he is receptive to that plan that John DeFilippo talked about yesterday.
Let's go now to Mike. Do we go Mike and Cincy just now? Yeah, let's go to LT in Akron. Welcome to the show, LT.
Yeah, I hate to disagree with everybody, but I really do, okay? I think the Browns have really set this up. They're bringing in their wide receivers. They're bringing up their defensive people. They're bringing in everybody they need with their salary cap. You guys talk about going all out with Philadelphia for Mariota. Philadelphia is going to be going against the Browns. The Browns are going all out for Mariota. It's all set up. You can see it coming.
It'll be interesting to see if it plays out. Would you be happy with that?
Sure. Well, who wouldn't?
All right.
You would have two Heisman Trophy winners on the same team going at it. Are you kidding?
Well, hopefully that would be good. Hopefully they'll fare better than, you know, the Gina Toretta Heisman Trophy
and
winners
Tim Crouch.
Of yesteryear. Let's go to Al in Mansfield. Al, welcome to the show. What's up, Al?
Al. Can you hear me now?
All right. Al is gone. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to get into our mailbag, bringing our producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs. Get your questions answered here as we wrap things up on a hump day edition. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.